Welcome back to The Bottom Line on KCPW. Today on the Startup Spotlight, we continue our series of conversations with the entrepreneurs from Boom Startup's EdTech Accelerator. Today we're speaking with Patrice LaPerriere. He is with a firm called Zamenhof. Patrice, welcome to The Bottom Line.
Thanks for having me.
So your name's a little hard for me to pronounce. It's foreign. It's French. And appropriately, you are developing a platform that lets folks that are running companies that help teach foreign languages. Is that correct?
Exactly. So basically, we are a language school. But instead of reaching out directly to students, we work with brick-and-mortar language school. So we provide them a white-label platform. We provide them a software. We provide the teachers and the academic content.
Is there a company here in Utah that maybe folks have heard of?
Originally, we were based in Montreal, Canada, but we moved here in Utah, in Salt Lake City.
Okay. And how about from a customer standpoint? So some of the brick-and-mortar language teaching schools.
No, unfortunately, not yet, but okay. Coming soon.
You're working on that.
Yes. Our primary customer is in South Korea. Then we have Mexico, Poland, Russia, and most of these countries, yes.
So let's go there. You're all over the world, which is hard to do logistically. How did you said your largest customer is in South Korea. How
yes.
did you get hooked up with that company?
They found us online. We started with one customer in Russia, and at the footer of the website of our first customer was written powered by Zamenhof, and we got all our customers from there.
Interesting. So your platform is white labeled for the brick and mortar schools,
yeah.
but yet you do have a little bit of co-branding that enables their competitors to find you.
It's at the discretion of the client. Not all our clients are writing that on in their footer. It's not mandatory at all. It's just when they want to help us out.
So it sounds a little bit, if I can be candid, like a risky strategy, right? You've built a better mousetrap.
Mm-hmm.
But people have to find you as opposed to outreaching, you outreaching. Why did you decide to go with that strategy?
It was not a strategy, actually. Our first challenge was to increase the retention rate. When we started a couple of years ago, the retention rate was 1 month. And if we don't have a retention rate longer than 6 months, we don't really have a value proposition to offer to our clients, the brick-and-mortar language school. So building the platform to help the student to stay longer with us was a big challenge. It was extremely hard. And we recently achieved that. And now we're ready to focus on growth.
Okay. So when you say us,
yes.
were you working at a brick-and-mortar language teaching company?
Originally, yes, in Moscow, Russia. I was the director of a language school in Moscow. And now I focus exclusively on the online part of this company, which is Zamenhof.
And was the company a spinoff of that time where you were a director
yes.
in Russia?
So from day one, we were a profitable company because we took the online part of the language school. The language school where I used to work became my first client. So just with that first client, we had a profitable business from the very start. So it was not as hard as many other startups to get started with that.
Okay. So you're working at this, you're the director of this language school in Russia.
Not anymore, of course.
But you were
at
the time. You saw that you were having some challenges retaining customers.
Mm-hmm.
You built this platform to really address the need that you were facing. Was that something you were able to do on your own? Are you a coder?
I work with a programmer. For the co-founder of this company was the programmer of the language school where I used to work, and now we're working full-time on Zamenhof.
Was the idea always, hey, there's a business here, let's do it for our school and then we can roll it out from there?
We did it for our school, and then we understood the first challenge of the retention, the time that the student will stay with us, and the second thing, we noticed that it's really important, we were based in Moscow, and a lot of students were calling us from St. Petersburg, which is the same country, it's not that far. And they were asking, where are you guys? When we were saying that we were in Moscow, they were just hanging up. So we understood that location, for some strange reason, is extremely important. I know it's not much in the American mentality. You don't care that much where you buy something online unless, as long as it's in the U.S. But around the world, that will matter a lot. They really want to know that where they purchase something, they can go like with their car. So we understood that the only way to scale is to have either a representative in every country of the world, or in every city, or simply working with existing company that already sell a language education product and make a deal with them and provide them a white label structure.
I understand the location focus if the student is thinking, I'm looking for what I would call a hybrid solution. Yes, it's more convenient for me to do this online, but every now and then I want to go, I'm struggling with something, and I want to go face-to-face with my instructor. Is that how most your customers are using your platform?
It always starts with blended education. The majority of our brick-and-mortar school, they always sell this as an add-on to their existing service. But what we notice that usually the student will stay with the school, but not in the facility, not in the brick and mortar. We'll continue. We'll eventually just keep the online version of the service.
You know, it gets tricky when you come up with your business idea at the company that you're currently working at. And there's some famous cases, actually, a lot of people forget. Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs came up with the idea for the Apple computer right back in the day. But Wozniak was actually working at HP at the time. And he actually gave a presentation to the senior managers at HP and said, hey, I've got this idea for a personal computer. And HP thought, well, that's a stupid idea. You know, why would anyone want to have a computer for themselves? And they blessed Wozniak joining up with Jobs and starting Apple Computers. You started this while you were working for another company. You were in Russia, which I think of as a very rough business environment. Was your employer on board the whole time, or how did you navigate that potentially tricky situation?
The employer was with me from the very first time. He believed in the idea compared to Steve Wozniak's situation, but the difference was that he thought that the challenge of increasing the retention rate to up to 6 months and more would be impossible. He didn't believe in that part. And that's the challenge that we completed, and now there's some regrets on his side.
But so he blessed and said, you can take this platform, yes, and it's your company.
He said, unless you raise like a couple of million dollars and get like a team of A-class programmer, there's no way you will build enough code to have a compelling offer for the online students. Because we were competing against like English Town, Open English, and companies that raise $100-$120 million. So the challenge was sustainable. It was really big.
If you're just joining us, our guest this morning is startup entrepreneur Patrice Laperriere, and he is the founder of Zamenhof. Your competitors have spent tens of millions of dollars, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars, coming up with a similar type offering. Why were you able to do it for pennies on the dollar?
I think that our competitors were really focused on dealing with on scaling, while our focus was about serving the existing students of a brick and mortar language school. So we became an online language school. I know everybody called themselves online language school, but usually the majority of the online language school will be a self-study platform. Like you go to English Town, what happened, they give you pay a certain fee, you log in, and you have all your material online. You can access to some live classes, but they're not structured, and they're not, it's just a 24-hour service that is running. You can hop in, hop out whenever you want. Us, it's a little bit like a real language school. We try to reproduce exactly what you will have in a brick-and-mortar environment. So you will have a course, a syllabus, some assessment that will lead to a diploma. And this, as strange as it might sound, it doesn't exist yet. I think we're the only one doing exactly that, to reproduce the experience we'll have in a brick-and-mortar facility. And this, I think, is really what helped us to reach this retention rate.
Yeah, it doesn't sound strange at all to me. I could see why that would be successful. It's also labor-intensive, though. Are your customers the tools to upload and create the syllabi and everything else themselves? Or are you providing that as a service?
We provide everything. If the customer wants to upload his own material, it is possible. But I would say that 90% of our customers, they just use what we provide.
And I've seen other platform companies, and this providing the service part of it often becomes the stumbling block. It's the piece that doesn't scale. Do you have that concern now? Do you agree with that? And if so, do you have a way that you're going to handle that?
You mean the fact that we're using teachers or the fact that...
No, well, you're white labeling your service to existing brick and mortar schools. And if I understood you correctly, you're helping them come up with the online syllabi and the other tools, as opposed to the brick and mortar schools putting that online themselves and producing that online themselves. And so that gets labor intensive on your part. And so how do you scale that?
Well, first off, we are white label for the student, but we're not white label for the... we're really developing a brand for the brick and mortar language school community around the world. Just to give you an idea, Zamenhof, most people don't know what it means, because he is the most famous language in the world, linguist in the world. He is the guy who invented Esperanto. So you see, for the general public, the word Zamenhof doesn't mean anything, but for our customer, the owner of the brick and mortar language school, they all know Zamenhof.
He's the Steve Jobs of the language world, right?
Exactly. Okay. So we're kind of building a brand, actually.
You've got one standardized syllabi that you're going to the brick and mortar schools and saying, you should be using this type of program.
We upload. We have a team uploading content every day. So something like every 2 weeks, we come up with a new course, with a new subject, and then we promote it on our forum, and the language school will check if they want to promote it or not. We provide the teachers, the language school will just look if it's convenient teacher for them, if they like the profile, if they like the resume, and they will start working with it. It works a bit similar like a call center. You know, you will have a call center agent working for AT&T and Sprint at the same time. So okay. Our teacher is the same thing.
And they will work. I was missing that, so thanks for clarifying that. What about, let's go to your journey now. What about your journey? You said you were the director of this language school in Russia. You decided to move here to Utah. Was that before Boom Startup, or did you move here because of Boom Startup?
No, I moved here because of Boom Startup. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you were halfway across the world, literally.
No, I was living in Montreal when I... So when I started Zamenhof, I just stayed a few weeks, and then I left. I came back to Montreal, okay. And I arrived in Montreal. I was looking for an accelerator because I don't have that many contacts and don't have that much of... I don't have a big network in Canada and the U.S., so I start to look for an accelerator, but it was really important for me that the accelerator would be specialized in education. Otherwise, you meet a lot of people that are just not interested in this industry. So I just checked the list of the most famous accelerator. Boom Startup was well on top, so that's the one that I selected.
Nice. And how was the experience of going through Boom? What were the two or three big takeaways that were really helpful for you?
I have difficulty to communicate with people who have a job as an entrepreneur. It's kind of difficult because you talk about your problem, and for most people, it doesn't make that much sense. You sound disorganized. You sound crazy a little bit. So being with eight other entrepreneurs was for me the highlight. It felt like I just came home. It was a really fun part. With the mentor also, some mentor will provide really valuable information. That's something also that I really enjoyed.
Great. And so a big piece of this is, even though you were able to do this relatively inexpensively and you got a lot done before you got to Boom Startup, there's still a lot that needs to be done to become the company you're hoping this will become.
Exactly.
That takes capital. So how's the fundraising going?
We had demo day on last Thursday. I had a couple of meetings scheduled at the end of this week only. I couldn't schedule anything before that. So that's the only fundraising that I'm having so far. I didn't raise any money. I didn't do an advisor round because we're quite profitable at this point. We are we have like over
that's
half.
That's the great. That's the best answer to give an investor is yes, you know we really don't need capital right
we
now.
We don't need small capital. We need a significant investment, of course. But advisor round are usually not. We're just not necessary for us.
Got it. Okay. And are you going to be staying in Utah or are you going back to Montreal?
No, I will stay in Utah. I'm going to Montreal next week, but I will come back here up till at least December.
Well, that's a huge success for the state of Utah, and it's one of the reasons we're so excited about playing our role here in the bottom line in that KCPW and building the ecosystem is we get talented folks like yourself that probably, were it not for programs like Boom Startup, were it not for a healthy ecosystem existing here, you'd be building your company somewhere else, maybe even in Canada.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Patrice, we thank you for joining us today on our Startup Spotlight.
Well, thank you very much.
Our guest this morning has been Patrice LaPerriere with Zemanoff. You can hear my entire interview with Patrice on our website, kcpw.org. Today's show was recorded at the KCPW studios on Library Square and produced by Ross Chambliss. You can tweet me at Savvy Wells or at KCPW Bottom Line. I'm Doug Wells. Join us next week on The Bottom Line.